This is the A2R Recovery Service podcast. Copyright Dave Cooper, all rights reserved.
Hello, my name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another in this A2R series of podcasts. This is Advanced Recovery and Session 4, and today we're going to be looking at shame and the way that it connects with vulnerability, intimacy, and creativity. So let me say, for clarity's sake, before we start, that advanced recovery is something that someone should be looking at when they've created a stable platform. If you have not yet created your stable platform, then it's probably not the time to be looking at these ideas. You can go back to some of the other podcasts where we talk in depth about stable platforms, but in brief, it is where an addict is no longer using their drug of choice, no longer acting out on their addictive behaviour, but are free and clear of those things, and nothing anyone can say or do can actually get you going back to them. This is by no means the end of recovery or the completion of recovery. In fact, we have to continue to make progress. We have to continue to grow. It's a sink or swim type of program, and what you find is that if you're not swimming, you are sinking. So we have to continue to make progress. And what does that mean? It means we have to start looking at the issues behind the addiction, the root causes, the trauma, the difficulties, and shame is a huge factor in these ideas. Not only because it is a huge issue of itself, but because it has a special nature in that it covers other issues. If we were to say, for instance, if someone has a sexual issue, you know, who doesn't, right? But the thing about shame is that whether it's a sexual issue, whether it's an esteem issue or whatever it is, if you've been brought up to think that you are unacceptable if you have that issue, if you are unacceptable, if you are struggling in this way, then what happens is that a covering of shame goes over it. And the difficulty with this is that not only is the shame itself difficult, but the shame then prevents you from dealing with your issue. You never get to it because the shame stops you. Let's just make a distinction now, for anyone who doesn't understand this, between shame and guilt. A lot of people feel guilty and think they're ashamed. A lot of people have shame, but they think it's guilt and so on. So just to clarify, guilt is a feeling of a shameful feeling. You may be ashamed of what you did. Guilt is about behaviour. Guilt is about what I did was wrong. I robbed a shop, or I lied to a friend, or I did something shameful. And that, it comes from a sense of guilt. Shame is, in a sense, much more serious, because shame is where you have a feeling that you are wrong. Shame is about you as a person. It's about you in your nature. So you can't get rid of it in the same way you can get rid of guilt. Guilt is removed either by paying a penalty, going to jail, or paying the money back, or whatever it is you need to do, or by saying sorry, being forgiven. There's all sorts of ways that guilt can be removed. Shame cannot be removed in the same way, because it's, if you think of yourself as being soaked in it, if you think of yourself as being stained, you can't get rid of it. It's part of you. It's shame is about who you are. So we're looking at this word unacceptable. It's the training that we've had as youngsters that say that if you have this issue, or if you are bothered by these things, then you are unacceptable. And so shame we can think of as a fear of disconnection. It's a sense of, I will be rejected if I have this issue, so I'm ashamed. I cannot tell anyone about this stuff. There's something wrong with me. I can't deal with it, but I can't tell anyone about it, because I will be unacceptable if I do. So it's a fear of disconnection. And I know I'm getting through this stuff quite quickly, but I want to give it to you in as powerful and simple a way as possible, because I just want to say that that's what's behind shame. It's a fear of disconnection. And if you continue in that fear, you will be in shame for the rest of your life. There is no way that you can process it out in any other way. So what is the antidote to shame? This is what we need to know. And let me tell you something. This is not something that you're going to be able to just click into place. This is something that has to be practiced. It takes incredible courage to think about it. But I'll give it you straight and we'll take it from there. You can go at your own pace. You must think these things through before you put them into practice. But let's talk about the antidote to shame. If shame is a fear of disconnection, then the antidote to shame is connection. It's any practice or any behaviour or any dialogue or communication that connects us with the world. Particularly, of course, with people and in relationship. So, we're then talking about vulnerability, intimacy and creativity, and you may have been wondering where those words were going to come in. But what we know is that in order to be connected, we have to become vulnerable. So let me just say that again. In order to become connected, we have to become vulnerable. You can work with people, you can live with family, you can be married. There's all sorts of relationships you can be in and not be connected because you are too ashamed to become vulnerable. You are too frightened of becoming unacceptable. So what happens when we become vulnerable? Well, if we think about intimacy, creating intimacy in a relationship, if we think about creativity, and I don't know if you're listening, if you're a creative person, if you have to think creatively in your work, or whether you're a creative person as a songwriter or a poet or a painter or anything, you will know that there is no creativity without vulnerability. Any artist who's painted a picture and thinks about showing it to someone else, any songwriter who's written a verse and wants to sing it to someone knows what I'm talking about. It's an incredibly vulnerable place to be. It's like someone can just reject you. They can just reject you out of hand if they choose to. So you're doing an incredibly courageous thing when you become vulnerable. And of course, it's not just for artists. It's not just for the rare creative type of people in our society. We're talking about every addiction problem where you can live the rest of your life with a fear of disconnection and hold on to that by not becoming vulnerable. Or you can decide to start to change as you grow into your recovery. You can say, well, I'm going to become vulnerable. I can't create intimacy. I can't outgrow this shame without becoming vulnerable. So how do we do that? Well, I'm going to give you an exercise. And again, as I say, this is up to you to think about and up to you to go at your own pace, not to be pushed into it or rush into it or think somehow you can cure this overnight or something. This is something that I believe as living, breathing and recovered people, we are putting ourselves in this position really every day. So what's the exercise I want to give you? Well, just take a minute to think about people that you know. Think about the people that you live with, your close ones, maybe some work colleagues, whoever you want to think of. As you think of them, as they come before you in your mind's eye, I want you to ask yourself, what is it that I'm trying my best not to show them? Just ask yourself that question. Look at each person in turn and ask yourself that question. What is it I'm trying to manipulate them into not thinking? What side of me am I trying to show them? What part of me am I desperately trying to hide from them? What is it I don't want to say? In order to do this, and of course we are talking about advanced recovery, so you will have already done some work around the idea of building relationships a little better. You will have done some work around the idea of communication and so on. So it won't be from starting from scratch here, but if you think to yourself, I need to get more real in this relationship, I need to become more vulnerable, it's amazing to think that as we are self-centered type of people, as we've developed strategies that have been based on the myth of control, the delusion of manipulation and so on, people think what they want to think. People, some like you, some don't care about you. And this idea that you can somehow behave in a certain way, control what you say and what you don't say, and by doing that, you can make them like you, you can manipulate their opinion of you, this has to be trashed. This idea just has to be thrown into the bin. It's just wrong. It's just plain wrong. Listen, to disprove this, all you have to do is think about your own experience. It's so simple. You don't have to believe me. Just think about your own experience. When you meet people, don't you like them or not like them? What was it based on? It's very difficult to say sometimes. You just know that you like some people, you don't like other people. And did they manipulate you into that? Well, I'm not saying manipulation doesn't exist. I'm not saying we never get fooled by people and so on. But generally speaking, we make our own minds up, don't we? We decide and we make our choices. Well, so do they. And really, a big part of advanced recovery is allowing your own opinion of people to elevate them into full humanity. It's a difficult thought to imagine that we've been looking at people as less than ourselves. I often think to myself, and in fact I often teach this, that if we were to look at everyone around us as being as rich and unique and weird and different and as ourselves, then that would probably be recovery there in a nutshell. You'd probably have it all, because a lot of what we do is really based on not giving them full humanity, either in the way we manipulate them or don't think they've got their own minds to make up their own opinions and so on. It's worth thinking about how much you give people full humanity in your view. So I hope you get something from that exercise. And of course, if you choose to go ahead, what you'll be doing is you will be saying to that person, this is what I want you to know. You'll be making that choice, and it's the most courageous choice. I call it the judo throw of shame. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to take this issue that I really have convinced myself that they must not know. I will be utterly unacceptable in their eyes if I tell them this. And what you're doing is you're throwing it the way it's going, which is the judo way of approaching things. You're saying, no, I'm actually going to tell them. You know, I've worked with people who think that they're unacceptable to the opposite sex because, you know, they have, you know, they're shy, or they don't feel confident. And I've said to them, look, you've got no idea how attractive it is to the opposite sex that you are shy. You've got no idea what a turn on that is, that you are not confident. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody's attracted by that, of course not, but there's a lot of people who are, because they don't like people who are overconfident. So what I'm basically saying is give people the right to make up their own minds. Let them know who you are. Consider letting them really see you for who you are. And you know what will happen? However successful or unsuccessful it is, what will definitely happen is that you will find out who really likes you and who really doesn't. Because you'll be being yourself. Now, you must work at your own pace. You must go at your own pace over something like this and take full responsibility for what you say and what you don't say. But do listen to this podcast again. I've packed a lot into a few minutes here. And study it and think about how it applies to you, how the idea of shame covers other issues, how the idea of shame relates to vulnerability, intimacy and creativity. Think about how your shame is a fear of disconnection. And then think about who you're in relationship with and what you're going to do about it. And I wish you all the best with that. Until next time, bye for now.